KSL at Night was recorded and produced this afternoon. KSL at Night. Some of Utah's top political specialists join a roundtable on the day's biggest stories. KSL is at 102.7 FM and on every smart speaker when you say play KSL News Radio.
Welcome to another edition of KSL at Night. I am KSL's legal analyst, Greg Skordas, alongside Taylor Morgan again. Taylor, you and I have been doing a couple shows together lately. What's up with that?
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
I must be doing something right over here at the studio.
I always enjoy being on air with you, Greg. I really like it because we have a nice balance of partisan affiliation or background, I think, but also your legal expertise is, I mean, I can't stop talking to you off air, Greg, because all of my legal questions answered.
And for me, I love talking to you because you know everybody. You know who they're married to, when they went to law school, where they went to school. I should say this, Taylor.
Yeah.
If you ever miss any of our shows, of course, you're usually here, so that's not a problem. You can always go back and listen to it on kslpodcast.com after the show's been aired. I didn't realize that. Just look up KSL at Night.
Excellent.
You can find old editions of the show.
Love it.
Hey, so this is a really troubling story, and I don't know if you've been following this, but the University of Utah women's basketball team is invited to the NCAA tournament, and they played at the host Gonzaga. So they're staying at a local hotel in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. It's about 30 miles to the east, I guess. Northern Idaho. Gonzaga, of course, is Eastern Washington area. And the team's leaving the hotel, they're walking around, going to a place to grab a bite to eat, and some guy pulls up in a pickup truck and yells the N-word. I mean, when was the last time you heard somebody doing something like that? It's just astounding at the students, at the kids.
Yeah.
Of course, there are African-Americans on the team. I think the coach is African-American. And they go to dinner, they come back, and then two cars are there, and they both start shouting racial slurs again at the team. I mean, this is 2024. This is March of 2024,
yeah.
And we're getting this happen to college women who are, you know, this is, can you imagine playing in the NCAA tournament? Can you imagine a greater just excitement? You know what I mean?
It's devastating. It's tragic. It really is so disappointing for these student athletes, for you know, all they have done to get to this place, to get to the NCAA tournament. They're in the semifinals now, I believe, Greg. They have been doing well in the tournament, but yet, personally, outside of the arena, they're having to face what is real, blatant, overt racism. I mean, they're just trying to walk from their hotel in Coeur d'Alene as a team to go get some dinner close by.
Right.
And they're yelled at. And then they're also then followed after dinner.
Right.
And yell that again. And according to head coach Lynn Roberts, they actually had to change their hotel just to make sure that all of the players felt safe. In her post-game press conference addressing what happened, Coach Roberts said, quote, "Racism is real and it happens for our players, whether they are white, black, green, whatever. No one knew how to handle it. It was really upsetting for our players and our staff to not feel safe in an NCAA tournament environment. It's messed up," end quote.
Yeah, how do you handle it? I mean, how do you handle that in this day and age? I mean, when something like that, you just don't expect it. And I imagine those kids were so caught off guard, those players and coaches and staff are walking down, time of their life, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. They're going to play in Gonzaga, beautiful venue. And somebody does something like that, it's got to put a damper on everything you do after that.
Yeah. And we know now that not only the police department there in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, have gotten involved in this, but now, Greg, the FBI is also now involved in investigating this incident, what happened, who was involved with this. We heard here on KSL News Radio that a retired attorney for the FBI, Greg Rogers, stated here on KSL that he has experience with these kinds of things happening in Coeur d'Alene. He spent time working for the FBI in Coeur d'Alene, and he said that, unfortunately, this kind of behavior makes sense for the area, is what he said.
Yeah, and I was wondering about that. And so people have asked me about that, because we do know that there are certain pockets of the country where certain white supremacy groups tend to gather, tend to live. And there are some pockets in northern Idaho, and there are also some incredibly beautiful, wonderful areas up there where these groups congregate. So it maybe isn't as much of a surprise if had it happened in you know, Draper, Utah, or Provo, Utah, or something like that. You wouldn't have expected it. But maybe there's some groups up there. I mean, there are pockets of hate groups that still exist in this country, and they're vocal, and they're going out of their way to make people uncomfortable. And, I mean, you just don't say that. I mean, I don't care. I mean, to me, I'm glad the FBI is involved. I'm glad local law enforcement is taking
a look
at it.
Do you feel like, so as a legal expert, as KSL legal analyst, do you feel like that's an overreaction at all? Do you feel like that is warranted to get the FBI involved? Are we at that level? And again, I'm not justifying or diminishing what happened.
I know exactly what you're saying. Yeah.
Right? Is how can the FBI help? What would their role be?
I would just say this. How could you not get the FBI involved? And I say that because maybe I'm being a little too politically correct. But when something like that happens, there's got to be an investigation. Now, I don't know what the FBI can do. Certainly no one was hurt physically. Yeah. There was no assault. It was a verbal assault. Local law enforcement's looking into it. The FBI, I'm sure, is going to look into it. But you're right. I mean, is that overkill in a case like this? I just think you can't leave this one alone in any respect. There's no law enforcement agency that's going to say, hey, nobody was hurt, no harm, no foul, go play your basketball game. That's not going to happen in 2024.
That's a good point. Just because racism exists and racism happens doesn't mean that it's not a serious thing, right? And it should not be treated as if it's commonplace. I will give some credit. I want to commend Idaho Governor Brad Little for taking to X, formerly Twitter, issuing a very strong statement, thanking the Coeur d'Alene community for stepping up to reinforce, make sure that the city is a safe place to be. He unequivocally condemned what happened and what was said, has committed to working with law enforcement. So it's not certainly not all of the community. It's not all of Idaho. There are bad actors in every community.
Right.
Of course, we saw Spencer Cox, Governor Spencer Cox here in Utah, commended Idaho Governor Little on his statement. So I think it is important and great that everyone is taking this very, very seriously. And if you ever want to hold an NCAA event in your city ever again, you better do that.
Oh, yeah. Good point. Good point. So if you're going to be, if you're Gonzaga and you want to have the NC2A there, because that's a big deal.
Big deal.
I mean, you drive by the Delta Center this last weekend and it was packed. There are people there trying to buy tickets for any price they can.
And it's not just the racism. Greg, it is also the threatening behavior following the team after dinner to the hotel. And also the fact that these are women. These are female student athletes. I think that there is some additional concern there given who was following them and what was happening there with the threatening behavior. So really quick, we have just a few seconds left, Greg. As a legal analyst, a legal expert, if the Coeur d'Alene Police Department and the FBI do track down who's responsible, what could they be charged with?
You know, I was thinking about that, and that's a great question. Is it something like disorderly conduct, disturbing the peace? And if Idaho has, and I believe they do, hate crime statutes as we do here in Utah, there are crimes that really track each other very closely. You can enhance a crime. You can say, well, normally disorderly conduct or that type of thing is a mid-level misdemeanor. But if it's a hate crime, and it clearly is, I don't know how you could define a hate crime anymore.
Hateful words.
Anymore clearly than
hateful
that, right?
Words do qualify as a hate crime.
Right. Okay. Especially if they're directed at a certain group, especially if they're using derogatory words like that.
Got
yes, it.
It
could be a hate crime. And that's why local law enforcement and the FBI is looking at it. What surprises me is in this day and age when we have so many video cameras on intersections and cell phones and things like that, that nobody has been wrapped up yet. You would think that there would be something going on. They must have a suspect going somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, when we come back after the break, we're going to talk to Utah Representative Phil Lyman, who you know really well, about something really interesting that happened in Baltimore this week involving a bridge collapse. Stay with us.